Hallelujah. I want to talk to you tonight about the subject of really, if I had to title it, taking the step from hope to faith. Now, in talking about this tonight, we don't want to give off the impression that hope is not important. It's very, very important, all right? And so we want to look at some scriptures. I want to start in the book of Proverbs, if you would. Proverbs chapter 13, and we'll begin in verse number 12 and read this. And if you don't, I'm reading from the King James Bible. I may take some of the King James language out just because I've just used it over and over again. And especially this, it's kind of interesting, this version, when I say version, this layout of the King James Bible, I really like. I can remember sometimes what side of the page the scripture is I'm looking for. Not necessarily what verse it is, but I'll look and oh, there it is. Yeah, it's right there, you know, and find it. So that, I try to keep this. But, you know, as a youth, I did youth work. I really was never a youth pastor. They called me that, but I wasn't for about 4 years. And I found out they don't speak King James English. Have you ever noticed that? Not a whole lot of us do either, but so if I take some these and thous and instead of ETH, I just say make it a plural because that's what it means, then you'll understand. But here in Proverbs 13, verse 12, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when desire comes, it is a tree of life. Hope deferred. Now, there's a couple things there I want to bring out concerning that statement about hope being deferred. Hope, and we'll define hope here in just a minute. But when hope is deferred, he says it makes the heart sick. A couple different thoughts about that, the word deferred. One translation is the Bible in basic English, instead of deferred, says hope put off. Put off. Or one way to think about it is delayed. Hope delayed. Or hope that just seems like it's never going to happen. Have you ever been there before? Just seems like it's never going to happen. Now Bible hope is confident expectation with joy. But if delays keep happening, things keep happening, and things get deferred, in other words, or if you give up, how many of you know you're not going to have joy? All right? And that's when you find out, I've got to, you know, there's some things that we're told to hope for. How many of you are hoping for the resurrection? Well, it's not your time yet, so you're not going to have it yet. All right? It's not your time to go to heaven yet, so you're hoping that when you leave, you're going to go to heaven, right? That's the hope that we have, and we're confident in it. It's not that we're wishing. Bible hope doesn't mean I wish. Bible hope is based on evidence. All right? Evidence so much that evidence paints a picture of what it is you're hoping for in your thought life and really in your spirit. You can see it. I can't necessarily touch it right now, but I can see it. All right? And then you know how it kind of progresses. Once you can start seeing it, you start talking about it. I heard Dr. Paul Yonggi Cho, who pastors a big church there in Seoul, South Korea. I mean, probably over a million members. Can you imagine having a church over a million members? They had over 20,000 pastors on staff there. And that's still probably not enough. I mean, but when he first got started and started seeing some things in the Word of God and saw that, and he got a hold of some of the same scriptures that Brother Hagin did about you know, whatsoever things we desire when we pray, believe we receive them, and we shall have them. He started talking about everybody. He was believing God for a bicycle. He's on foot. He's believing God for a bicycle. And he would tell me, they said, well, Cho, where's your bicycle? He said, I've got it on the inside. Well, what do you mean you got it on the inside? He came up and he started telling people, I'm pregnant with a bicycle. All right? You know, think about the great hope and the joy when a woman is pregnant. There's hope there, right? Joy. You don't see the baby yet. You see evidence, but you don't see the baby. But there's hope and there's joy involved. And really, it's for the joy set before you that a woman goes through the travail of childbirth. It was for the joy set before Jesus that he endured the cross. The hope of what would happen. What was that hope? That one day you would accept him as your Lord and Savior. Amen. That's why Jesus went to the cross, was for us. So hope deferred. Or sometimes another thing to think of is deferred. When we give up on what God's promised us, it causes our spirit, man, our heart here, to almost be injured, if you will. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, he said. And so we want to look at, we don't want to, now I think sometimes we've stayed in hope when we shouldn't, and we should be over in faith. And that's why I want to talk a little bit about that. Look back in chapter 10. Expectation is something with hope. Expectation. And confident expectation. And with joy involved in it. I like that. That's if you look that up in the Greek word for it in Thayer's lexicon, he says that confident expectation with joy of the salvation that is ours. All right, here in Proverbs 8, chapter 10, verse 28, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. Now listen, if you're in Bible hope, you're going to be glad about it. Amen. I don't know how. I know how or why. It's the devil trying to talk you out of things and talk us out of things. But there's no person more miserable than a Christian who's deferred their hope. You think the character Eeyore in Winnie the Pooh. You know, everything's bad. Everything's, if it's going to happen bad, it's going to happen to me. That's a person who's lost their hope. Lost their hope. And really, until you get hope in a person, you can't even start talking about faith. Because we'll see as we end tonight, of course, that faith is the substance of things what? Hope for. Okay. Now let's go to Romans chapter 4. Let's look at some things from the New Testament. Now, again, you know, in one service, you cannot teach a comprehensive message on anything. Do you understand that? So this is not all there is to say about hope tonight. First of all, I want to admit something to you. I don't know all there is to know about hope in the Bible. I know part, and so I'm going to share some of the parts that I know. I do know more than I'm going to share with you tonight just because of time's sake. But I definitely don't know all there is to know about hope. Remember, the Apostle Paul said, we know in part. And we prophesy, literally speak by inspiration, in part. But when that which is perfect is come, we'll know, but we're not there yet. He says, for now we know in part. Now here in Romans chapter 4, speaking about Abraham and him believing God, in verse 18, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall your seed be. I like what one commentator brought out. He said it this way. He said, what that's telling us is when there was no reason at all, there was nothing that Abram could look at, nothing that Sarah could look at, there was nothing whatsoever that they could look to think they would ever have a child. They had no hope, but because of the promise of God, they had hope. Amen. Who against hope believed in hope. Now that's one thing, there's a key right there, and let's talk about that right now. The Word of God, when we read the Word of God, it begins to paint a picture of who we are. When it says, by Jesus' stripes you were healed, that causes that hope to grab hold of, hope will grab hold of that, Bible hope, and say, I can be healed. I can be healed. And then starts painting a picture of whatever that means in your life. Well, if you're healed, right? Now, listen, when I say this, you go back to your doctor and you let your doctor tell you don't need those pills anymore. But think about it. If you're healed, you don't need those pills, right? You understand what I'm saying? When you're healed, how's your life going to be different? In fact, I heard a man say this one time and talking about meditating the Word of God. Ask yourself this question. If this scripture was true in my life right now, how would my life be different? Yeah. Yeah. If this was true right now, my God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. If all of my needs were met right now, how would my life be different? And start meditating, see, and on the inside, talking that over with yourself. That's what it really means to meditate, is talk it over. Some people say, well, you know, if you get talking to yourself, you'll go crazy. No, you won't. Not if you talk the right things. And we all talk to ourselves anyway. We all have those me, myself, and I conversations, don't we? When we're thinking about that, you know, we're having that conversation. We may not say it on the outside. Have you ever been having a conversation with yourself and accidentally it slipped out and you said it out loud? Everybody's, what'd you say? No, nothing. Right? You don't want that to get out there. But he had no reason whatsoever to believe that he would be the father of many nations, as had been promised. But that promise overcame what? The lack of hope. There was a greater hope, a greater expectation. Now again, one thing we should say about hope, if it's expectation, that means it's what? It's future. If you have it, you don't have to expect it. All right? If you've already have it, what are you expecting it for? You already have it. You see the difference? Okay. Now, I've got this little bottle of water here, and I confidently expect that if I open this up and drink this water, it would help satisfy my thirst. Right? I have confident expectation. I hope. I'm in hope. I'm in Bible. I know. And I'm confidently expecting it. I'm confidently expecting it. But as long as I confidently expect it and never open up the cap and take a drink. Right. And see, opening the cap, that's another act. But then putting it to and taking a drink of it, that's faith, see. Yeah. It's acting on what you hope. Yeah. All right? Now let's look down here in chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified or declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, we've received some of that glory. It's in us, but the glory of God that we're going to live it throughout eternity in. We're not there yet, right? But we have hope of it. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now notice, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but Bible hope will never cause you to have shame. Sometimes people are hoping in the wrong thing. All right? Can I tell you this right now? If you're hoping I'm going to give you $10 million, you're hoping in the wrong thing. Amen. And I know people have put unrealistic expectations on people. And because they don't ever deliver that, then they get mad. Right? And they get discouraged. That's another thing you could say, hope discouraged makes the heart sick. They get discouraged. You know, can I tell you something? There's some things, well, there's a whole lot of things, but there's some things that only Jesus can do for you. Amen. Your wife can't do it for you. Your husband can't do it for you. No relationship on this earth can do it for you. In fact, turn over to John chapter 4. This wasn't in my notes, but since you brought it up, let's turn over there and look at it. There's certain things that nobody else can do for you. Amen. Now see, when I started talking about that water quenching my thirst, I wasn't thirsty, but now I'm thirsty. Now that when you start talking about things, you start talking about what the Word of God, you get thirsty for it. All right? Now here's a thing where this thirst idea comes out. Here in John chapter 4, Jesus, let's see. They've come to the city of Samaria. Jesus is the disciples have gone in to prepare and get some food together. And Jesus is at the well there, Jacob's well. And verse 7 says, there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me to drink, which that was the custom of those days. for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God, that was who it is that said to you, give me to drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and this well is deep. From whence then has this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob that gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said, whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, Jesus isn't saying don't ever drink water. Okay, some people, you know, they'll go, see, Jesus said don't have to drink this. No, but he's saying, even in this natural, if you drink from this water, you're going to have to drink it again. You're going to have to keep on drinking it. But there's something in our life that just a drink of water won't satisfy, and continuing to drink the water won't satisfy. And if we try to fill it up with anything other than that well of water springing up in everlasting life, it won't fill it. Now, this woman, it goes on here. And an interesting dialogue takes place that shows what I'm talking about. The woman said in verse 15, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said, go and call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and he whom you now have is not your husband. In that said you truly. In other words, you spoke truly. Then she said, I perceive you're a prophet. Now, it's interesting whether or not, you know, why is that important? Because he's trying to tell her something. He's teaching her something from her own life. He knows by the Spirit of God, by the word of wisdom, that she's been married, or word of knowledge, actually, that she's been married five times. The guy she's with now is not. He's telling her, look, you cannot quench the thirst that you have inside of you with these relationships you've been in. No relationship will quench that thirst. You know, I've heard some folks, you know, talking about marriage. I talk to quite a few people thinking about it. You know, we have a rule. If our students are thinking about getting married, they're supposed to come talk to me, not wait till after, but they're supposed to come ahead of time. And, you know, the reason is because sometimes being in Bible school is not a good time to get married, okay, because you need to be concentrated on what you're doing. And people that are getting married, how many of you know this? People are getting married, that's all they think about. I mean, that's all. I mean, I didn't even get married, and it's all I've been thinking about for, I don't know how many months now. You know, all I had to do was say I now pronounce you whatever. And, we've been thinking about it. Well, this thirst that this woman had isn't something that could be met by relationships. It couldn't be met by these five men, now six that she's lived with. It wouldn't work. She needed that living water. That living water on the inside. Okay? Now see, she's hoping in the wrong thing. Do you see that? She's hoping in the wrong thing. And it never has. And she's really at the place now. You could say she's got a sick heart. But thank God she got in contact with Jesus. Amen? You know, she really went and started evangelism. She went in town. Now, he mentioned five and then one. He mentioned six. But she went in and told the men of the city, come and see a man that told me everything I ever did in my life. And they all went out. We want to go get, I don't know if go get this guy or go meet this guy. Because we don't want him talking anymore about what you've been doing. And they went out and they said, now because we've heard him, we believe. What did she turned into an evangelist. Amen. Right there. Glory to God. All right. Now let's go to Romans chapter 8. Thank the Lord. We are confident. He said, we're standing in hope, he said there in chapter 5. Standing in this hope. Standing in confident expectation of what is to come. And we will not be ashamed. We will not be ashamed. It shall come to pass. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I'll tell you this. One of the reasons I'm thinking about this, because we've been talking about revival. We've been talking about it's coming. The last day, it's coming. No, it's here now. All right. We got to quit talking about it. We got to start saying it's here and start acting like it's here. There are things going all over the world that are in supernatural in scope. And if they were listed in the pages of this word, they'd jump out at you and just be a thrilling, thrilling thing. I was talking to, or actually reading after one of our recent graduates who is a convert from Islam. He's come over. He's really ministering to a lot of the Muslim community. He was recently in Greece, where there's a whole lot of immigrants out of Iraq and Iran who have been kicked out, and really they fled the country because they turned to Jesus. And he said the number of them that Jesus actually appeared to individually and told them this, I'm the way, the truth, and life, not this other, is astonishing. Is astonishing. Amen. And he said they need, he said, he's over there. He said, I'm teaching them the word of God, teaching them what we learn, what we know of God, and how God and the goodness of God and the love of God. He said, because they've been taught the wrong things. Because he said, I know, I was taught those things. Now here in Romans 8, verse 14. We'll start there. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons or the children of God. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now you see how that we may be is hope. That's future tense. For I reckon, didn't know Paul was a Southerner, did you? For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be, here again, that's hope, right, revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God or the children of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. See, even creation itself is waiting for something to happen. Confidently expecting. What? That there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. It's waiting for for us to manifest. And when that happens, some things are going to take place. It says, because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And that's that process of hope. There's hope carries with it a struggle. Really, faith is a rest. Faith is when it's mine. I got it now. I'm done. That's it. It's over. It's mine. Well, see, where is it? It's mine. Well, you don't look like, I didn't ask you how I looked. It's mine. You're just resting in it. You're so calm. I couldn't even talk you out of it. See, you're in faith now. All right? And faith, listen, faith is never waiting for the manifestation. Hope is waiting for the manifestation. Faith says, I have it now. If you think you're in faith and you're still waiting for the manifestation, you're not in faith, because faith is the evidence. It's the evidence. It's there. It's really, one translation actually says, faith is the manifestation of things hoped for. All right? Well, what do I do? Having done all to stand therefore. Amen. It's got to have. It's like Jesus. Jesus cast the devil out of the boy, and he just walked away from him. He threw him in the fire. He didn't say, oh, get him out of the fire, get him out of the fire. No, he just walked away from him. Why? He told that devil to leave that boy. Amen? You know, we've tried to, you know, we've tied people to chairs, try to cast it out, you know, and all this kind of stuff. I was over in Ghana, and they're making people throw up. You know, get the whatever it was in them, they had to throw it up. You got people making themselves throw up, you know. First church of the gag. I don't know what it was, but it was disgusting, I can tell you that. Verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. See, first implies there's more coming. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. How many of you know we don't have that resurrected body yet? But it's coming. How many of you are confident expecting it? Right? But now notice what he says. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for it? Right? Now, see, hope is vitally important then. Hope is vital, confident expectation. But if you've got it, you don't have to hope anymore. But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with all, here's the key, patience. Tell your neighbor, patience. Okay? That's another spiritual force. It takes patience. Now, what about hope? How many of you know this? Hope's alive, isn't it? It's a living, vital force. Look at 1 Corinthians 13. Patience. You know, Hebrews 10 says you have need of patience. After you've done the will of God, you shall receive the promise. You shall. Not might. You shall. 1 Corinthians 13:13. He's talking about, you know, we know now in part, we prophesy in part, but then we shall know even as we're known. Talking about what we have now and what we're going to have. But he says, now abides faith, hope, King James says charity or love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. But that doesn't do away with hope, and that doesn't do away with faith. Hope is abiding. Abiding. Well, if the love of God's been shed abroad in our heart, hope resides. That's where it's going to reside also. That's where faith's going to, it's from the inside. Now, hope is not in our head. Hope is in our heart. Now, it affects what we think, but it's in us, all right? Now, look at Ephesians chapter 1. God has hope. Well, if it's good for God, it'd be good for us, don't you think? Here in Paul's prayer, verse 17 and 18, we'll just read this part because that pertains to what we're talking about. Paul prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, that's each one of us, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him, that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling. What is the confident expectation of his calling? Or his, I like to think of his calling as this, his divine invitation and summons on my life. He's called me. He's called me. Okay? He's called me. You get that? See, if I wanted Glenn to come in, I'd say, Glenn, I'm calling him to come. See, God has called you. Called you. Now, why am I, I'm confident that he'll come when I call him. God is confident and expecting, and his calling carries with it everything that we're to do. Everything is planned for your life. He's called you to it. All that you're called to receive, everything that salvation brings you. You're called to be healed. You're called to be holy. You're called to these things, see. Confident. God, and God is confidently expecting it to happen in your life. Glory to God. Now look at chapter 2. But if you're without Christ, and this is why, you know, if you look at people in the world, why are they so distraught? This is why right here. Verse 12, 2:12. That at that time, talking about what we were, you were without Christ. How many of you are glad that's past tense? You are with Christ now. Being alienated or aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, the covenants, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You see, a lot of people, here again, let's go back to that woman. You know, she's trying to fill up that lack of hope in her life with relationships. Some people try to fill it up with money. How many of you know money? Money is a bad filler for hope. Okay? And what, you know, I've heard situations where, you know, they say, well, these people, they just have no hope. And so we turn to other means of trying to fix it. And try to throw money at it. You can't fix a hopeless situation with money. It doesn't work. The only thing that's going to solve that, having no hope, is to be with Christ. But having no hope is being without God. If I don't have God, if I don't have the God, the creator of all things, if I don't have him who said he's with me, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. See, if I don't have that, then there's no way I can have a confident expectation. Hebrews chapter 6. We're almost getting there, okay? I just wanted us to talk about this subject tonight. And again, hope's very important. That's why we're spending our time talking about that. We've talked a lot about faith, but we also have to talk about hope. But remember, hope is future tense. You can't live and stay in hope and ever receive. You've got to come over in the arena of faith, which calls things that be not as though they were. Amen. Hebrews 6, Verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Now we read in Romans, right? What did Romans say? Who against hope believed in hope? And we saw in another verse that talked about that patience there. So when he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation to them is an end of all strife. There's no more talk about it. There's no more discussion. The strife is over. Once we've declared, yes, I've given my oath, it's over. All right? Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise. Now, didn't we say we're joint heirs with Christ? The immutability of his counsel, in other words, unchangingness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, who? God and his word, which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that's set before us. Which hope we have, now notice what that hope will do. Anchor as an anchor of the soul. Any of you ever been in a boat? What happens when you throw the anchor out? It tethers the boat. Ever how long your anchor line is. But it pretty much keeps the boat right there. Right? It tethers it. Well, this hope will tether us right there to the promise of God. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. I start seeing myself. Well, if I'm healed, that means this, that pain in my shoulder, that's got to go in Jesus' name. If the life of God's in me, if it's working in me, that life's in me, if that healing power, if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me and is quickening my mortal body, that pain can't stay there then. And I start seeing myself with that pain. I'm tethered to it. I can't get away from it. I'm just anchored right there in the healing. And pretty soon I'm going to start declaring, I'm healed in Jesus' name. You see, it tethers me there. It holds me there. It says, both sure and steadfast, which enters into that within the veil, the very veil of the Holy of Holies, glory to God, whither our forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, Hebrews 11, verse 1. Hallelujah. Now, faith. I always like to point that out. It's right now. Faith. The hope is future, but faith is right now. Now faith is the substance or the evidence, other translation. I've got a note in my Bible, says faith is the grounds or the confidence of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Faith is. Amen. Faith is these. The Amplified says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of the reality. Now listen to this. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. I can't see it, but I got it. See, that's faith says that. That's living by faith. And the Bible talks about faith being a rest. So once I've said it, yeah, it's done. Exactly. I'm not going around worrying about it. Now, if I do, I realize I'm not in faith. The Bible says, know whether or not you be in faith. All of us. But take the time. Here's the thing. Take the time to go to the scriptures and build that hope to the place. Well, the only step left is to act on it in faith. That woman with the issue of blood, she heard about Jesus, and she said, if I can touch his clothes, if I can just touch his garment, I shall be made whole. And she talked about it. The Bible says she repeatedly said it. She said it over and over. Not to anybody else but herself. She doesn't have anybody else around her, but she repeatedly said it over and over. All she lacks now is an opportunity. And boy, when she heard that Jesus was coming through her area, I mean, that hope, she couldn't contain it. She couldn't contain it. She had to act in faith. She had to act in faith. Now, Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. And if faith is the substance of things hoped for, we know she had to have hope before she had faith. You see that? Well, what gave her hope? What she heard. What she heard about Jesus. See? And that gave her hope. And she meditated. And she got so to the place where she just said it. If I can touch his clothes, well, if I can touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Amen? Now, we don't have to touch his clothes. He doesn't have to come down and lay his, you know, his finger on our fevered brow. He doesn't have to, we've got his promise on. We've got his word to say, the word of God that says, by his stripes we're healed. Amen? Well, if that's the case, if that's the case, you know, then this joint pain, this neuropathy, this diabetes, this whatever it is, it has to go. Amen? It has to go. Because we're anchored, and see, stay anchored to it. Anchored to it. And then just let faith happen. All right? Just let it happen. Amen. Just move right over it. Hallelujah. It's not hard. It's not hard. You know, sometimes we make it hard to believe God. But you know, really, the hardest thing you'll ever do, the hardest faith project that you've ever worked was when you got born again. Because all the demons of hell and the devil himself is against that. And when you said, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and I confess him now as my Lord, there was no demon in hell, the devil himself couldn't stop it. The greatest miracle that ever happened in your life just happened. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for the hope of your word. We thank you for the confident expectation that your word builds. But Father, we're not going to stay. We're not going to let it pass. We're not going to walk away from that hope. Hallelujah. We're going to act on it in faith. Father, I thank you that your word builds the image of who we are, that we be conformed to the image of your dear Son, that as we read in the word of who we are in Christ, we conform to that image. Hallelujah. And we act on it in faith. We even declare that we are the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. When it seems like the last thing we are is righteous, we declare it. When it seems like, Father God, we're anything but a new creation, we declare, because your word says that we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. When it seems like we haven't won anything, we're more than conquerors through him, through you that loved us. You, thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph. Hallelujah. Who gives us the victory in all things. Father, we just thank you and we praise you for it. In Jesus' mighty, mighty, mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, did you get anything out of that tonight?